Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe shares what a heart of generosity looks like and why it matters so much to God.
When we are generous, the favor of God flows upon our life, allowing us to be even more generous. And I become a funnel of God's blessing and rejoice in the fact that God can use me to bless other people. That is a spirit of generosity.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Have you heard of the biblical principle of reaping what you sow? Today, Mark Jobe continues a key lesson about why generosity is more than just good, it's necessary. For Christians, a spirit of generosity is exactly what God is looking for to accomplish His great works. And before we dive into this important message, let me remind you that the place to go for all of these Bible teaching programs is on our website, boldstepsradio.org. But right now, here's Mark with today's lesson.
What the Apostle Paul is talking about when he's talking to these believers in Corinth is that you reap in direct proportion as you sow. Principle number two, write this down. Generosity flows out of a heart that delights in giving. The second thing that the Apostle Paul tells these believers is he says, each man, this is generic for each man or woman, should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me break this down for a second. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Can I tell you that most of us, we don't plan our giving. We don't think a lot about our giving. But the Apostle Paul is telling these believers, you need to decide in advance what you're going to give. You need to plan your giving. Decide in your heart what you're going to give, not under compulsion, not because you have to, but because you choose to, because you want to, because you've decided to. So he says, give what you have decided in advance to give. Make a plan. Have a plan of action. Know what you're choosing to give. By the way, I think we should be a lot more deliberate in how we give. Most of us give on the moment, and most of us don't have a budget to give. We don't really have a plan to give. We just, like, hey, let me put my hand in my pocket. Do I have any change? Here's my change. This is what I'm going to give. But what if we got a lot more serious about giving? What if giving was a part of your plan? What if you budgeted to give? What if you said, hey, there's a certain portion of my income that I'm going to give away. I'm going to give it to missions. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to people that are in need. But I'm going to take a portion of what I have and I'm going to give it away because God has given so much to me that I want to be a giver, not just a taker. That's a novelty thought for some people. You're thinking, what? Budget to give? Exactly. That's my challenge. And God says, hey, you need to give what you've planned and decided in your heart to give. Now, he also goes on and he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. What's he saying with this? The word cheerful, by the way, it's the only place that this word is found in the New Testament. In the Greek, we get the word hilarious from here. So to translate it to our language, it says God loves a hilarious giver. That doesn't mean a giver that cracks a lot of jokes. It means God loves someone that when it comes to giving, they are so excited, they are so pumped up about giving, that they are hilarious about it. They are so overjoyed. They're not just happy to give. To them, they are so delighted in giving that it's like, have you ever laughed so much that you cry? Have you ever listened to something or a story that's just so funny and you just can't stop laughing? It just tickles you and you just laugh and laugh and you're crying and you say, stop, stop, stop. And you just laugh and it is so funny. This is what God says. When you feel that way about giving, God loves it. If you understood the power of giving, if you understood what happens when you give, if you understood what releases when you give, if you understood what's happening in the spiritual realm, then when it came time to give, we'd say, okay, it's offering time. And instead of pulling out, you're saying, okay, all right, hey, see what I have? And your wife says, a little bit more than that. You say, okay, I shouldn't have, you know, all right, I'm going to give. I should give. Here it is. The Bible says if you really understood it, you would be, it's time to give. Oh, man, this is so great. Come on. Oh, I can't believe we get to give. Wow, this is it. We get to give generously. I'm so excited. It would be the favorite time when you have to give to others, when you're able to give to the shoeboxes or some of our asylum seekers or missions or an offering, when you have the power and capacity to give, when you understand what's released in your giving, then you would do it with great excitement, great joy, great anticipation. It would cause you to be filled with a sense of excitement when you give. Most of us, listen, don't understand the power of giving. And so when we don't understand the power of giving, we have sometimes a zero-sum mentality. And our mentality is if I give, there's less for me. So it saddens me that I have to release that which I work so hard for. Right? Let's be honest. A zero-sum mentality means there's only so much of the pie. If I give my piece of the pie away, then there's less of the pie for me. So it makes me sad because I can't get the things I really like. And so it makes me sad about it. So I'm not happy. I'll give it because I expected to give. I probably should give. Here you go, God. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to explain to us the power of giving. He's trying to explain to us what it means to give, the joy of giving, the spirit of generosity. So I get people to ask me all the time when it comes to giving, whether it's to the church or to missions or to a poor person or to relatives. I have people ask me, well, how do I give and how much do I give? Well, I'm not going to tell you how and how much, but let me give you a couple principles to guide you in this. One of the principles found in Scripture is called the first fruits principle. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The first fruits was when a farmer went out to collect their harvest. The very first fruit that they collected, they would give to God. They would give away. The very first of their fruits they would give away. Why? Because they were saying, my giving is a priority. I'm going to give the first away. I'm going to give it to the things of God, to the people of God, to the mission of God. I'm going to give the very first so that the other 90% or the other that I collect will be blessed because I'm giving first away. Now, we have the opposite, don't we? Typically, what we do is we pay our bills, we buy the things that we need to, we plan our vacations, we do everything that we have, and if there's anything left over, then we say, well, this is what I can give. The Bible in the Old Testament, New Testament, actually advocates for an opposite mentality. It advocates for the mentality of actually giving first so that the very first thing you do is that you give. How would that change the way you view your finances? If you decided, hey, whatever, if I have a great month, my very first fruits of the month, I give to a relative that's in need, I give to the poor, I buy some shoes for some of the Venezuelans that are struggling, I give to missions, I give to God, I give to the tithe and offering, I give a portion of what I have, I give it away, I budget to give. If something is important, you budget for it. And I can already hear someone saying, Pastor, are you kidding me? Budget to give? I mean, I can barely pay my bills. I mean, I'm struggling. I'm trying to pay off my credit card. Well, here's what I would say. Before you can, one of the things that needs to happen, what did I say? You sow what you reap what you sow. If you sow indebtedness, you reap the stress of debt. One of the very first things that some of you need to decide to do is get out of debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Let me say that louder. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Pay off those credit cards. Get out of debt. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how I got into it. I know how you got into it. You saw, you wanted, you bought on credit. That's how you got into it. And you saw some more you couldn't afford. You bought a little bit more on credit. And you bought a little bit more on credit. And then your car broke down. You said, it's my car's fault. No, it wasn't your car's fault. You got into debt on credit. You need to make a war on debt. Get out of debt as quickly as you can, as much as you can, because a lot of us are, I owe, so off to work I go. You're not working really in a way that is able to maintain or giving, you are working to pay off debt and the interest off your debt. So get out of debt, start saving. Yeah, saving, putting money aside, live off of a budget, live within your budgeted means. What would happen if you got out of debt, if you started saving, if you lived within your budget, and you decided, I'm going to make generosity a priority in my life. Out of every check that I give, a portion is going to go to give. Basically, what Jesus is telling us, and what the Apostle Paul is telling us, is that that should be how we operate. That should be part of the way we flow, is that we give. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how much should I give? Well, the Bible doesn't tell you exactly how much you should give, but the Bible does tell us that it should be generous. It should be generous. It should be sacrificial. It shouldn't be just chump change that we give. And one of the concepts that is found over and over in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament is the concept of the tithe. How many of you have heard of the tithe? Tithe means tenth. So, for example, Abraham, before the law was written in Genesis chapter 14, he won a battle and he gave 10% to Melchizedek, who was the representative of the Most High God. In the Mosaic law, the Old Testament, they had to tithe as well, and they would tithe off of their first fruits. In the New Testament, Jesus talks to the Pharisees and he says, you guys are tithing, but you've neglected love and justice. You should, but without neglecting law and justice. Let me say this. I believe some people say, well, we're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under the law. The Old Testament talks about tithing. I would say this. There is no certain amount that the Bible gives us, but the New Testament never is less than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, you shall not commit adultery. In the New Testament, it says, you shall not commit adultery, but if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his own heart. You see, it's not a less, it's a more. It emphasizes the attitude of our heart.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of this message on a spirit of generosity. You're listening to Mark Jobe on Bold Steps, and if you ever miss the start or end of one of our daily programs, you can always find them on our website at boldstepsradio.org. To stay connected with us, be sure to subscribe to the Bold Steps podcast on your phone or mobile device and take these messages with you wherever you go. Just search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe and hit that subscribe button. And if you speak Spanish or have a friend or family member who does, Bold Steps can now be heard in Spanish. Pasos a Dadas is a new one-minute feature for our Spanish-speaking listeners. Find Bold Steps in Spanish at our website at boldstepsradio.org under the Bold Steps Program tab. But now let's get back to our message for today and learn more about a spirit of generosity. Here's Mark Jobe with more Bold Steps.
Someone can come to church and say, well, I tithe, and I give. I give because I have to. Lord has asked me to, and that's what I do, faithfully. I don't like it, but I do it. You know what God says? Nah, I want a heart
that rejoices and delights. Thank you that I can be generous back to you, but it's nothing compared to your goodness to me. Not out of obligation, not out of duty, not out of I have to, but out of Jesus, you are so good, and I want to because I love you, I honor you, I follow you. You see, that's the heart of generosity. And so you say, well, Pastor, I'm not even sure where to go, how to start, where to go. And I would just say, start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. But there's, you know, start with a thimble if you have to. Remember, a thimble is back to you. But start wherever you have to. Start saying, God, I want to get in the habit and the practice of generosity. Not just at when the offering plate is passed in here, but a spirit and heart of generosity out there as well, with people that are in need, with family members that are struggling, with missions organizations that are wrestling. I think there's a part of our heart that God is saying, I expect you to be generous. Over the last 2 years, you've heard about this, but over the last 2 years of the pandemic, we helped feed 2.8 million people. But here's how God works. We collected an offering and we gave of our own. And when we gave of our own, God opened up more doors for us to give. And we ended up making a partnership with the Chicago Food Depository, and they provided the food. We provided the volunteer and the manpower. And listen, we became the largest food distributors in the state of Illinois. The largest food distributors in the state of Illinois. Who did that? The Church of the Living God. Who did that? The people of God. Why? Because they care, they give, and they're generous. That's why we did it. In Jesus' name we did it. And that's what I want you to understand is that when we open up, when we decide that we're going to be generous, then God opens up doors of provision that are far beyond what we could ever fathom or imagine. Why? Because there was a need, and we decided, Lord, there's a need. We're going to step up to the plate, and we're going to give. I believe that that's the way that God does it. And that leads me to my next point, and I want you to see it because this is my final point as well. And this is a great promise that we have in this scripture. It's about generosity. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Listen, here's the third point. Generosity attracts the favor of God that empowers us to be satisfied and open-handed. So here's what God is saying. As you become generous, God is able to show favor to you so that all of your needs are met. And so that you have extra to be able to meet the needs of other people. And then he goes on and he says this, listen. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. What's he saying? He's saying, as you choose to give, as you have a heart disposition to give, God enriches you and prospers you, not so that you can just spend more and more on yourself, but he enriches you and prospers you so you could give even more. Are you tracking with me? Now hear me well. There is a theology out there called prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel tells you that God wants you healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And the theology goes something like this: follow God, and he will give you Rolls Royces and mansions and prosperity and jets. And let me tell you, if you're listening to a preacher that is teaching you that, turn it off right away. Run from it as fast as you can. Run. Seriously, run. Good people get sick. We pray for their healing, but people die. Godly people can go through difficult times economically. There are people right now in other countries that are in jail because they follow Jesus. Don't explain a prosperity gospel to them because they are being faithful and love Jesus and are suffering for their faith in Christ. If you see a preacher or a pastor trying to tell you that if you sow a seed into their ministry of $1,000, you'll get $10,000 back as they fly into their jet to other places, let me tell you, turn it off, run. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, yeah, there are principles in giving. Yeah, God does prosper. Yeah, there is generosity, but God is not your, listen, God is not your piggy bank. And if you follow Jesus, sometimes you will suffer. And if you follow Jesus, sometimes you'll pay a price. And if you follow Jesus, there are very godly people that live in very poor places but are still generous. Amen. And so do not buy into a false prosperity gospel. But don't neglect the fact that generosity breeds generosity. And what the Bible is telling us right here is that when we are generous, that the favor of God flows upon our life, allowing us to be even more generous so that I cannot accumulate greater wealth for myself, but so that I can be even more generous as I give to other people, and I become a funnel of God's blessing to other people and rejoice in the fact that God can use me to bless other people. That is a spirit of generosity.
So I want to just thank those of you that even in a difficult time, you have chosen to be generous with your local church, with people around you, even to Bold Steps. I know that sometimes, oftentimes, it's hard to say, how can I be generous at this time? But I believe there's an act of faith. It is the spirit of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, if you are releasing into ministries, into missions, into your local church and being generous, I want to challenge you and encourage you that God is your provider. And I want to say thank you for walking in faith and believing God together that He can use you for the spread of His kingdom. So thank you for your generosity.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job, and just in case you want to revisit or share any part of today's powerful lesson about generosity, just visit our website at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, today you reminded us that as Christians, we are going to face hard times, even with God's favor, and I think right now a lot of Christians are feeling the heat of today's culture. Our values and beliefs are under fire from the political world right down to our schools, and we're called, though, not to be silent about this.
Yeah, Wayne, you know, good people go through hard times, and I do believe that what we sow, we reap, and the Bible teaches that. But I also believe that when we stand up for God and godliness, that there will be people that will not understand and will come against us.
Yeah, Jesus said as much, didn't he?
Jesus was very clear about it. If they hated him, they're also going to sometimes hate us as well. And so we are encouraging our listeners, and we are encouraging those that are followers of Jesus not to allow their voice to be silenced in a loving, gracious way, but don't be silenced. And so this month's gift to our partners with any gift that's given is a book by Erwin Lutzer called We Will Not Be Silenced. You know, Pastor Erwin Lutzer is a friend of mine. I've known him for many years. And he's pastored in a very difficult city, in the city of Chicago, right downtown Chicago. And sometimes the message of Christianity and sometimes what we have to preach isn't always a popular one. But in his book, We Will Not Be Silenced, I think Pastor Lutzer gives us a good challenge to graciously, lovingly, but boldly not allow the voice of the gospel, the voice of what the gospel brings, our morality, our view on marriage and human sexuality, the sanctity of life, and these issues not to be silenced. So we would love to put this in your hand and would challenge you, a gift of any amount to Bold Steps. We will get this book right out to you.
Yes, just call us at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give your financial gift and request We Will Not Be Silenced online at boldstepsradio.org. One more way to contact us and ask for this gift, address an envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then don't forget to connect with us through your Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube account by searching for Bold Steps Radio. When you find us, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our pages while you're there. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll see you back here tomorrow for a new message from Mark all about the habit of gratitude and thanksgiving. We're going deeper in our study on the keystone habits of influential faith. Make sure you don't miss the message coming up Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.